Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we talk about crime in music.
No, now wait, man. It wasn't me, I swear. I wasn't even in that area at the time, and even if I was, I was just holding this stuff for another guy. And besides, that's really a crime anyway, is it? I mean, the real crime here is the persecution of the proletariat, you know what I'm saying? Attica, 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 Attica!
All right, so a couple of weeks ago, we had our friend Nate Scott in to talk about his favorite music of 2019.
Yep.
And he enjoyed it so much, believe it or not, he decided to come back. So we welcome to the podcast again, Mr. Nate Scott. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Thank you, man.
We're doing well. My name's Jim Lenihan over there.
I'm Patrick Foster.
That's Patrick Foster. This is Rockin' the Suburbs, and we're going to talk today. First of all, tell us what we're drinking here, Patrick. Let's get to that.
Oh, Jim, I got to tell you, man.
We neglected the most important.
One of my favorite breweries of all time and also regional loyalty is Stone. So
yeah.
A brewery that started in Western California and opened an East Coast shop in Richmond. Just amazing beers. You can drink their Tangerine Express. It's a great IPA. And this one is called Never Ending Haze, but it looks like, tastes like a 8 or 9% hazy New England IPA, but it's only 4%. How do they do it, Jim?
How do they do it?
I don't know. I've drank 72 of them, and I obviously am not talking too clearly about how they do it. But
I hope this isn't like that Seinfeld episode with the low-fat yogurt or whatever.
Yeah, I was about to say. Patrick's just trying to get us to spend the night here, and
is that 11?
I can just keep eating it because it's low fat, right?
Yeah, right. Totally. But it is delicious. Yeah.
It is. It really is.
Right.
And then also I brought some beer from Toledo.
Oh, man.
I think you guys had a couple
of
these.
Nate? It's really nice.
Ernest.
Yeah. Ernest Brew Works, Toledo, Ohio. It's a blonde spice winter ale, Jim. I like the lot.
Yeah. Even though it's like 70 degrees outside in January.
Yep.
Crazy. Okay. Now, today the topic is going to be crime songs. We're going to talk specifically about songs that deal with people who break the law, right?
Right.
All right. And we are doing that because why?
Well, I guess Nate would answer that question best, but Nate, you're, I guess, kind of the creator and co-host of a new podcast.
Yes. It's called The Sneak. It's a true crime podcast that I grown from my Rockin' the Suburbs guest host days into now hosting a true crime podcast that's out from USA Today, For the Win, and Wondery Media. It is called The Sneak, and it is a podcast about a armed robbery of $400,000 by a former D1 football player. That's not the interesting part. The interesting part is that the crime is ornate. He had Craigslist hired decoys. He escaped in an inner tube down a river. So I went and met with this fellow once he got out of prison and spent basically a summer with him and got to know his story well.
You know, it's interesting to me, Nate, listening to some of it too, that he was in a desperate place, right, with
yes.
his life. He had some addiction problems, but he also had some debts and some things that went wrong where he thought everything was going fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we were drawn to the story. Was this was a great football player, Division I, played at the University of Idaho under Tom Cable, who would go on to coach the Oakland Raiders, was set to be a star wide receiver. Tore his ACL, was prescribed Vicodin. Soon developed a pretty severe opiate addiction, cleaned his life up just in time to get into real estate right to catch the global housing collapse in 2008. So for us, this story kind of grabbed us as this kind of modern American tragedy and then led him to commit this pretty audacious, ridiculous crime.
And how many people did you interview for this?
Ooh, we interviewed somewhere between 15, 20.
Yeah.
But we did over 30 hours of interviews with
wow.
with the criminal himself. And then we got the prosecutor for the first time to go on record about this, who's a federal prosecutor. We talked to his family. We talked to we found the eyewitness. We ended up finding some people who were involved back then who have never actually spoken to anyone about this and thought they had gotten away with it for about 12 years. Mm. And we found them.
Wow.
Were there a lot of people that didn't want to talk?
Yes. we got one accomplice to go on record, but most of the other ones told me to do anatomically impossible things to myself.
With your podcast.
Yes, exactly.
Let me ask you this, Nate. So when you went to put it all together, being a music guy, how did you approach the soundtrack? Like, did you get canned music or free music on? Did you Google like free podcast music?
Yeah.
Or what did you guys do?
When you're recording a podcast, I don't know how much we want to get into like the legal aspect of it, but basically there's podcasts like this.
Just don't mention my name.
No, there's podcasts like this where you are commenting on music and sharing music and discussing music, in which case you can make a pretty strong, compelling free use argument that you are making a editorial commentary on
it. Editorially,
on
yeah.
Exactly. Any lawyers or law enforcement listening,
that's right.
That's what we're sticking with. On my podcast, not the case. We are using music to create atmosphere, basically. And so I was lucky that my employer has a subscription to a very comprehensive music website, and we were able to kind of pour through hours of garbage to find enough that we could kind of create the atmosphere and the feel that we want. And we ended up using a lot of off-kilter, we used a lot of like trap beats and interesting stuff. Yeah, just because we wanted it to have a feel and be interesting. And I feel like every podcast just has like quirky strings and, right. you know, yeah. like the same podcast songs you've heard on NPR 1 million times. And right. for me, it was like, let's have a point of view. Let's have a tone. And my actually, the music supervisor on this podcast, who was also our mixer, a guy named Chris Bowerbank, who is a Jamaican-American guy in DC. Incredible. His incredible soccer podcast called Across the Pond, which you should check out. And he and I were sort of doing it, and we had kind of music that felt a little more kind of NPR-y, and then we just decided, you know what, let's just be us on this,
right.
and we leaned into it, and I'm really happy with how it turned out.
That's cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
You can always call Quart Jar,
and
they can give you some theme music. They did that for us.
Original
so that
music.
Was really great.
Yeah, nice. That's right. Costs a case a song.
Okay. Yeah, is that the rate these days? But for instance, you wouldn't be able to just like do this. Okay, so we can play that because we can say that was Take the Money and Run by Steve Miller Band off the album Fly Like an Eagle from 1976, right?
Which says a lot about our current society and crime podcast like Nate has.
There you go.
There you go.
That's why.
See? Editorial commentary.
Thank you. As an example.
And hand claps.
That's right.
Nearly well-timed hand claps.
Yes, that's right.
And if we fix it a little bit in the mix, it'll be fine.
There you go.
I guess, Nate, did you have a musical soundtrack in mind when you guys started doing this? Or was there a band or, you know, something you listened to? And I guess the example that comes to mind, you know, is Dazed and Confused, great movie that was made where, you know, apparently these young actors were handed cassettes, mixtapes by the director, you know, that said, like, hey, get in this mood when you film the scenes. But did you guys have any kind of inspiration?
The big one for us was, so the story became this, it was this weird crime podcast. But as we kind of reported the story, we found basically that the story of it had kind of mutated and changed through virality, through modern media consumption. And basically, the criminal, being a nice guy who wanted to acquiesce with people, just sort of went with this story changing. And then when we confronted on him, he's like, oh yeah, that's not really what happened, but I'll tell you what actually happened if you want to know. Well, it was really interesting to us. And so it kind of became a commentary on modern media and modern communication. And so what we actually started listening to a ton was the Social Network soundtrack from Trent Reznor and Atticus Finch.
Love that.
And we found our theme song had a lot of trap beats and was kind of this funky sort of crime-ish song. But from there, we actually found a lot of these droning atmospherics, which we fell in love with and really started leaning into for much of the season. And for season two, actually, which we're recording now, we've actually brought on a musician based in Richmond named Claire Morgan. And he is, which I don't know, Claire Morgan and the Not Good Night is a...
No, but I mean, that's cool. You bring in somebody who can do that for you. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Anyway, he's now creating our own kind of drone atmospherics for season two, which we're really excited
about. That's the way to go.
That's the way to go.
Just real quickly, though, Atticus Ross.
Atticus Ross.
That's okay.
Atticus Finch is the guy from To Kill a Mockingbird.
That's right.
Isn't it?
Yep. That's right.
See, my brain is it's this 4%.
It's the 4%
beer. The 4% actually 11% beer. Right.
That's right.
It just shows that you have a literary mind, which just makes you good for doing a narrative podcast.
The only thing
right?
was I was going to say Atticus Ross, and then I was like, no, Nate, it's Atticus Finch, which is not correct at all.
So, how did you guys decide to finish it, I guess, is always the thing for me with, a narrative podcast.
You can't give away the ending.
Well, I know that, but how did you shape, you mentioned it changed as it went along. Did you guys think about the beginning, the middle, and the end when you started, or what?
Very much, and it changed a bit. One thing that we knew we wanted to end with was, there was a really interesting character we met early on, which is the first voice you actually hear on the podcast, which is the 911 caller.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
And we actually found this guy.
That's on the trailer, too.
Yes, this is on the trailer, so I'm not spoiling anything. Yeah. And a guy named Mitch Ruth, who's a local realtor, he was a city councilman. We have a great moment where he talks about debating whether or not to shoot the man, and then I ask him if he's armed right now, and he says yes. No, and there's this really awkward moment where I'm like, okay.
I'm just going to go to the bathroom.
But what was really interesting was at the end of our interview, he confronted me and basically said, why are you here? Why are you doing this? Mm. Why are you glamorizing crime? Mm. And sort of started lambasting me and in turn the listeners to the podcast, which we thought was really interesting and kind of compelling that he sort of turned the camera right back on me. And so we knew we wanted that towards the end. And so that kind of gave us a narrative arc and a narrative hook. And then for us, that became kind of the bookends. This is the first voice we hear. And then this is someone that we want to hear towards the end. And so that became kind of the way we decided to do it.
That's really cool, man. Do you think you guys ever considered playing Cocaine Blues by Johnny Cash off of Live at Folsom Prison?
Early one morning while making the rounds, I took a shot of cocaine and I shot my woman down. I went right home and I went to bed. I stuck at 11:44 beneath my head. Got up next morning and I grabbed that gun, took a shot of cocaine and away I run. Made a good run, but I run too slow. They overtook me down in Juarez, Mexico. Laid in the hot joints, taking the pills, and walked the sheriff from Jericho Hill. He said, Willie Lee, your name is not Jack Brown. You're the dirty hack that shot your woman down. And yes, oh yes, my name is Willie Lee. If you've got a warrant, just to read it to me. Shot her down because she made me slow. I thought I was her daddy, but she had five more.
So by way of editorial commentary on that one... I would say that isn't it? Don't you find it just extremely interesting that he does this show in a prison and then he sings all these crime songs, right?
I know, it's amazing.
You would think that the warden would be like, take it easy there.
Don't stir him up there, brother. Right.
There are 10,000 reasons that album could not happen this in 2020, but it's so thrilling listening to
so true, man. Yeah, this is not a good idea on any level.
Don't get them all worked up like that.
Yeah, seriously. Exactly right. God, what a record.
And which one was Merle Haggard at? Was he at the San Quentin?
I believe he was at the San Quentin one. Yeah, that inspired him to sort of get straight so he can write songs as good as Johnny about being in prison. Yeah. Crazy. Amazing. Yeah. Totally amazing. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons that wouldn't happen. Like, so you wouldn't send Kendrick Lamar into a prison to do a concert right now.
Right. We know that true crime stories are really popular these days. How did you approach that? Because on one hand, you go, hey, we can sort of get a built-in audience because so many people are interested in these kinds of stories now. But on the other hand, there's so many of them out there. How do we, like, cut through the clutter, right?
Yes. And that was something that we had to kind of think about and talk about. And what we're seeing now a lot in kind of the true crime space, to use an annoying industry term, is a lot of shows will just kind of parachute in and just be like, let's look at one crime, and in this episode we'll wrap up all the things, and we're going to read the Wikipedia page, basically. Totally, and
here's the indictment.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Exactly,
And so for us, we really did not want to do it, and I had we talked about this last time, but I had a co-writer on this podcast, Anthony Pacillo, who is writer for HBO, AMC. He's now actually working for WWE in their writer's room.
Nice. Cover,
way.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk about drama.
Just like Bob Mould did.
Exactly.
Yeah. Apparently, that's a hard job, man.
A hard job. He's traveling like a maniac. He's working harder than he ever has in his life, and I'm worried about him a little bit. But we really wanted to do a deep character study, and that was something that we thought we could do to set us apart, was sort of try and really get to know and understand this subject, and then also try and understand this story beyond kind of a superficial level of initial outrage or, you know, unsolved case and how are you going to do it. And for us, that was kind of our North Star guiding light of was basically trying to understand this person based on why he committed this crime, why he did it the way he did. And then we followed him into prison, where he served almost a year in solitary. Went through a lot there and trying to understand that part of his experience, and then his life after prison and now, and our relationship with him and this story and how the story had mutated. So we just kind of say, you know, like, stick to the details and keep going into trying to understand this person better, and we're probably going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow. But you told us a little bit off mic, Nate. You don't have to say much, but he was difficult to deal with at times, right? Because, I mean, when you're a personality like that, you have totally different boundaries.
Absolutely. Right? And I will say that, you know, when we started, it was a lot and intense, and he came in and was telling us parts of the crime that we did not know and have never been made public within like the first 10 minutes of us meeting him. And you know, you actually hear a major portion of the podcast happen in the first like 15 minutes of us sitting in this car and driving this 20 minutes out to this town where he committed this crime. And from there, you know, I've gotten to know, I won't spoil who he is. I mean, you can find it out pretty easily, but the criminal extremely well over the ensuing months. And this is someone who is passionate and brilliant, but also by his own admission, kind of dumb. And that's, I think, why I was so drawn to this story, is he was brilliant and he made this brilliant plan, but also he got the money wet when he was in the inner tube, and so he dried it by putting all the money in a dryer and hitting go for 60 minutes on high, like out of a movie. Like, that's a comical, ridiculous thing to do, but that was, you know, that's how he thinks, basically.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. Well, it's The Sneak, people. You gotta listen to it. It's out there. It's a series. There's another one planned, so go ahead and get...
I got it right here.
There it is, man.
Go ahead,
download it, subscribe, binge it, and then get really that itch when you're waiting for the next season to be released, because I'm sure it'll be good. So,
yeah.
Thank you, Nate.
Very much.
Of course.
Any more crime songs you want to play?
I'd love to hear what Nate... We've kind of just stuck our arms in there and given songs, but what do you got, man?
We were going to talk about one, but I'm going to pull a late audible here.
Okay. Sweet.
And I want to listen to Black River Killer by Blitz and Trapper. I don't know if you guys know this band.
I know the band. Don't know the song.
Black River Killer is it's an homage to Dylan, you'll hear pretty clearly, but I think with a specificity and a songwriting attention to detail that's just perfect, and it's a really great song.
It was just a little while past the Sunset Strip. They found the girl's body in an open pit. Her mouth was sewn shut, but her eyes were still wide, gazing through the fog to the edge. other side. They booked me on a whim and threw me deep in jail with no bail, sitting silent on a rusted pail, just gazing at the marks on the opposite wall, remembering the music of my lover's call. So you make no mistake, I know just what it takes to pull a man's soul back from heaven's gates. I've been wandering in the dark about it long and thin, but they say it's never too late to start again. Oh wind, with the spirit coming calling from my soul to send. Oh wind, with the keys to the kingdom be mine again.
Amazing stuff, man.
That's on that album Fur. I have this, but I can't say I'm as familiar with it as I should be. So yeah. I need to go back and listen to that some more. The song Fur is awesome. But
Fur is a perfect song. Yeah. And this one kind of got buried because, no pun intended with the song subject matter, but I actually grown to love it even more than Fur, even though Fur is an amazing song, just because it's like a whole Cormac McCarthy novel in like three verses with a weird siren that just kind of comes in at random places.
Right.
But the guitar on it and the lyrics are incredible.
That picking guitar is amazing, isn't it?
I loved how dry the whole thing sounded, like really desert-like, you know, really, really like there wasn't much play and it was, you know, no reverb and everything was tight. Really nice. Man.
Yep.
Yeah, beautiful. Yep. Love the band. Haven't heard that song. Going to go back and figure it out. So another one from 2019 or... when Nate's here, where you get things that you didn't know about.
Yes.
Yes.
And also...
that song's old, though.
Bass. The song from, 2008.
That's right, 2008. That's what I'm saying. Yes. What year is it? And also...
who's counting?
Bass and, mm-hmm. Juventus and Fulham.
Do you have another song you'd like to play?
No.
No? Okay.
I'm done now.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to do one more here.
Prime songs? Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to do one more because you inspired me here with the Johnny Cash.
Oh.
And this song... I know you and I have talked about this, but I don't know that we've ever talked about it on mic. Maybe we have. I can't remember. I'm fascinated by this song.
Okay.
It's sung by Johnny Cash, but it's in that Rick Rubin period when he was covering a lot of other artists.
Totally, man.
And I heard this song, and I was just mesmerized by it. I loved it so much. And then I come to learn the songwriter, and it completely flummoxed me. Like, how did this guy... write this song? It seems so out of character for that particular songwriter. The song involves a killing. It's more like it's like an accidental killing. You'll hear that in the beginning of the song, but it goes on and on. We can't play the whole thing, but it goes on and on all the way through to his trial and then his execution, right? And it's just a great sort of like crime story kind of song, and so powerful and so emotional and so unexpected, because it was originally written and recorded by Sting.
What?
Yes. The song is called I Hung My Head.
Really?
Early one morning, with time to kill, I borrowed Jeb's rifle and sat on the hill. I saw a lone rider crossing the plain. I drew a bead on him to practice my aim. My brother's rifle went off in my hand. A shot rang out across the land. The horse he kept running, the rider was dead. I hung my head. I hung my head.
All right. Isn't that powerful?
Super powerful, Jim. Can't feel my legs or arms right now. That was really intense, man.
Of all the incredible things Rick Rubin has done in his career, him understanding that Johnny Cash's voice at that point was the just living embodiment of hurt and just pain and regret was...
Right.
I say hurt because of the song he did Hurt, but that... Sting wrote that song?
Yeah, isn't it crazy?
I don't believe it.
Yeah, that's wild.
I don't believe it, but that is amazing. You're right, Nate. That's well said, dude. It totally was one of the most amazing, later chapters in a producer's career.
Oh, completely. Yeah. Okay, so tell people again, the name of the podcast is?
The Sneak.
And people can listen to it?
Anywhere they find their podcast.
Anywhere. Like, you listen to this one somewhere.
Yeah. Somewhere.
So
where do you get
go
this?
To that same place.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. Wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
Yep.
And if, you know, nobody will help you, I'll just go to the Books a Million.
There you go.
That's right.
We're not going to go into that.
They'll help you out. They're very friendly people there. Yeah.
I don't even know if that franchise exists.
May not.
All right, let's move on. If anyone would like to contact the show, you can email rock@suburbspod.com. You can call 612-440-1984. Or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. Where can people find you, Nate?
I'm on Twitter at @anatescott.
And if you like the soccer, you can follow Nate there. He does some really good stuff.
Yeah, mostly soccer and shilling for my podcast.
That's right, which sounds good to me, man. That's what I'm into.
That works. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again, Nate. Thanks
for
coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Nate Scott.
And we'll talk to you guys later.
Here in the courthouse, the whole town was there. I see the judge high up in his chair. Explain to the courtroom what went through your mind, and we'll ask the jury what verdict they find. I felt the power of death over life. I orphaned his children, I widowed his wife. I beg their forgiveness, I wish I was dead. I hung my head, I hung my head.
It's this 4%.
It's the 4%
beer. The 4% actually 11% beer. That's.